Today's episode of Lighting Up the Marquee is sponsored by Dark Sales Productions. In today's world, video is the best way to share your story. Whether you're looking to market your business or brand on social media, or even share amazing memories like your wedding and other events, Dark Sales Productions is committed to creating the best content and capturing your most precious memories for you. Based in the Chicagoland area, Dark Sales Productions has worked with clients in the past to help market both local businesses and larger brands, capture newlyweds' perfect day, produce short films, and even work with individuals looking to have professional photos and headshots taken. No matter the business occasion or individual, Dark Sales Productions is ready to work with you. All you have to do is visit the website darksalesproductions.com to learn more about them, and you can also contact them to get started on your next project. That's darksalesproductions.com. And if you go over there and mention that you listen to this ad on Lighting Up the Marquee, they'll hook you up with some special offers. Once again, that's darksalesproductions.com. All you got to do is mention that you listen to this ad on Lighting Up the Marquee, and some special offers will be there waiting for you. Now, let's get started with today's episode. So we are back, episode 67 of Lighting Up the Marquee. I'm joined today by actually probably the person I've known the longest as far as friends. I'm joined by my longest and good friend, Shay Kangany. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, man?
Tired. I'm tired.
Understandable.
4 a.m. shifts are not fun, especially after what was it, like 3 hours of sleep, something like that? I don't know. The cats are usually... I wait for them to go to sleep before I can go to sleep.
Oh, man. But late night zoomies.
It's not even zoomies. It's like I'll play with them for a little bit because the boy cat, Jules, wants to... He's weird. Like, he cries a lot, but you give him attention. Like, that's what he wants. And then... once you're done giving him attention because he doesn't want it anymore, he'll walk off again and do the exact same cry, like as if he wants attention. And then you go play with him, but he doesn't want to be played with. It's very weird.
Polar opposite of my cat.
But I've gotten a good like night routine with them where I'll feed them their wet food. They each get a can of wet food. Normally he doesn't eat all of his right away. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. So we save it for him. And then we feed it to him. And then Mia, the little bitch that she is, like tries to sneak her way in and eat his food, even though she already ate her full can. But then once he eats his, I usually give it a little bit. And then right around when I'm about to go to sleep, I'll give him kibbles, like dry food. And then they'll eat that. Then he gets his sweater put on. When the lights go out, then they both know it's like bedtime. So they both jump up on the bed and start winding down.
That's good.
It's very like cool how they got that pattern down.
Yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
You said Maria's the opposite.
Yeah, Maria, my cat's to the total opposite. She's trained my dad, honestly, she trains him so that he has to go to bed at like 10 at night. She follows him and just kind of chills in his room while he's reading, and then when he goes to sleep, she goes to sleep.
It's like, yeah, it's very interesting seeing how cats either they'll pick up our patterns or we pick up theirs, because it's you have to adapt somehow. Again, cats are very different than dogs, but we've discovered with ours you just feed them and they'll knock out.
Understandable.
But yeah, how's everything been since because I just moved back a few months ago to Indy. First time I'd been living here, actually living here in like 5 years. But I know like I said at the beginning, we've known each other probably the longest out of all of, I'm guessing your friends as well.
Yeah. 21 years we've known each other. Can you believe that?
We went to preschool together.
Yes.
And it's a lot of shit has happened in those 21 years as far as world and everything.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, you know, I've been doing fine. It's nice to have you back. I wish I was under better circumstances.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's nice to be back here. I know we went out to dinner with your family, but it's also like, especially being back here, it's nice being back. And like, there's people here I want to see. But I literally haven't seen anybody since being back.
Yeah, I think you've seen me and my folks. You haven't seen my brother yet, I don't think, because he's away at Ball State.
Is he coming back? Because I don't know if they shut down, because a lot of the schools are closing.
They said he was going to come back for, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, one of his classmates tested positive for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to quarantine, and he's getting tested today, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
But
is he back, or is he quarantining there?
He's quarantining up in Ball State. Yeah,
that sucks. I know because I'm at Whole Foods right now. It was very weird because, like, they're doing a good job of taking precautions, cleaning, ensuring like we have gloves and masks. But it was weird. It was like literally day like. Not day after day, but like every other day, they would send us a text being like, another employee has tested positive for COVID. And it was legit, like, I think a whole week out of that 7 days, maybe 4 of the days I got text. And I remember one of the days they gave us like a huddle, and they were basically saying that they were able to catch them very early. And that the two cases that happened back to back weren't related cases, or like they didn't get it from each other. And they got it. One of them got it from outside of the store at his, like, I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, like with their family. And they essentially were just like, we deep cleaned the store last night, yada, yada. And they said, if you came into contact with that person, they would have like talked to you as well. So they didn't talk to me because I didn't come into contact with them.
Well, we kind of dodged a bullet there then, I guess, didn't you?
Well, it's also like when I'm there, because I'm a shopper, so it's like I always try to stay away from everybody as much as I can.
Of course.
And I'm always constantly changing gloves and sanitizing. I even like will put hand sanitizer on my gloves. Like if I touch something and I know I need to touch something like around me, I'll like put sanitizer on the gloves. And it looks weird, but I'm like, I'm not taking any risks.
Yeah, understandable. I mentioned this to you. I started a new job last week.
I forgot to tell you. They called me. I think I told you that they called me.
Yeah, you told me.
It was one of the strangest calls that I had to do for like a reference. They like cut me off when I was answering one of their questions and then like hung up. And I was like, shit, I think I fucked you over. Not fucked you over, but I think I fucked up your chances. I don't know if I said something, because it was one of those things where it's like you answer the question and then they cut you off and you feel like you'd said something wrong. That's how I felt. And then because I was driving and I was like, as soon as she hung up, I was like, oh shit. Like, what the fuck? That was weird.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that. She said all my references came back like positively. So
yeah, she was like asking, it was like generic questions I've had to answer before. I think Andrew put me down as a reference for one of his jobs and they called me. Every time someone puts me down for a reference, I don't always get a call, but sometimes I do. So
yeah.
And they called me and left me a voicemail. So I had to call them back the next day.
Well, it all worked out. Ended up getting the job. So I'm working overnights right now. And that's real fun, actually. And I'm not being sarcastic either. That's actually really fun.
That's what Claudia is doing at Target right now. They got her scheduled for the 10 to 6:30 in the morning shifts. So she's going in late at night, and most of my shifts have been at 4 a.m.
Dear Lord. I can't wake up that early anyway. I'm always up at night anyway, so it worked out perfectly.
It's like rough, but like once I get up, I'm usually up. So
yeah,
it usually works out. It's gonna be rough. So we're recording this right now on the 16th.
Yes,
this episode comes out on the 27th. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Sorry, forgot to mention that. Happy Black Friday, actually. That's the real holiday.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But in the midst of this, actually, the 27th is today is my last day of working 9 straight days.
Oh, my God.
And it's like my schedule was all over the place for the last 9 days.
My God, I can't. I couldn't do that if I were you, honestly.
Well, they've been having me work, like, I've worked 6 straight days for them. I remember one week it was 6 straight days, all 4 a.m. shifts.
Oh, my God.
It was all 4 a.m. shifts, and I think they threw in one, like, midday shift, and then the next day was a 4 a.m. shift. Because I remember one of the nights I got out at, like, 7:30 or 8, and I had to be back the next morning at 4. But it wasn't like a clopen shift because I didn't close.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done those before. They suck, but...
Yeah, clopenings are not fun.
Especially at movie theaters, which we both have actually worked for movie theaters.
Yes, we have. Yeah. How long did you work at yours?
About a year. So yeah, I was at... Because I worked at Studio Movie Grill, and they had just opened it. So... There was a theater in Indianapolis called Lowe's Theater for the longest time. I'm pretty sure it was something else before that, but for us, it was Lowe's. Yep. And then it had closed, and then it reopened with a very like generic banner that just said Movie Buff Theater. And then they were open for, I believe, like they weren't even open for a year, I don't think. I feel like they were open a few months. And then Movie Buff, yeah. How long were
that
they
was
open?
They were open for like 2 or 3 years.
Shit, I thought they were open for like maybe a year, and then I remember I went in one day and they said they got bought out by Studio Movie Grill, so they had to shut down the front half of the theater because they were renovating it, but the back half was still open. So it was weird because I went to go see a movie with my dad, and we had to park in the back of the building, go through the back entrance.
Oh yeah,
and they had already ripped all the seats out, so they're like, we have office chairs, you're just gonna sit in those and watch the movie. My dad and I were just rolling around the empty theater in them.
That's awesome.
But then that opened a Studio Movie Grill, and I was the groundbreaking crew for that company. For that location, at least, not the company.
Yeah.
And then you worked for AMC and Flix, which is another sort of like Studio Movie Grill. It's like a higher end Studio Movie Grill, I would say.
Yeah, I worked for AMC from early 2018 to November of 2019, October, November of 2019, something like that. And then from Flix, basically I went from AMC as a bartender there to Flix as a bartender and worked there through 2020. And then actually I worked at a third movie theater after Flix. I left Flix because they just let me go.
Was it because of COVID, or they just let you go?
No, I was hired as like kind of a seasonal bartender. Oh, okay. So kind of helped them through the busy season, the winter season. So I then worked at Hamilton Town Center, the MX up at Hamilton Town Center off of 69, until COVID hit, and then I was furloughed from them.
When COVID hit, like, so that was like, that was about what, March, April? When did they start? They started furloughing people here in like March and April.
Yeah. And Goodrich, which was the company that was my most recent movie theater, they filed for bankruptcy earlier this year anyway.
Well, so did AMC is, I think, filing for bankruptcy, and Studio Movie Grill filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I saw that.
Yeah. So AMC is not doing so hot. Regal's not doing hot.
Well, Cinemax. Regal's gone. They are completely bankrupt. So they're not.
Are they really?
Because with Chapter 11 bankruptcy, Studio Movie Grill can still open, but they're, I think, just paying off all their debts right now. That's why, like, Chapter 11 still means you can come back.
Gotcha.
I don't think AMC has announced their filing for bankruptcy yet, but I did see an article that said basically they told all their shareholders not to invest anymore because they potentially would file for bankruptcy, which
gotcha.
I feel like out of all the theaters, AMC might be the safest because I thought Amazon bought them.
Yeah, that was way before I left. Unfortunately, I was way after I left, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But the one that I know that I worked at, they opened there for a brief minute. And actually, because that's where you saw Tenant.
Turner's Point. Oh, they reclosed. Yeah. Did they reclose?
Yeah, they reclosed again.
Oof. Because I was debating, not really like a heavy debate, but I wanted to see the movie Freaky.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see it, but it's in theaters, but I'm not comfortable going to a theater. I'd rather wait for that to like, for me to rent it from like Amazon and just watch it at home on my soundbar.
Yeah.
Because I mean, even when I went to go see Tenet, I was still skeptical about the whole coming back to a theater.
Yeah.
I still felt they did like good for what they did. And there was, like I said, I think before on the show, there was only 8 people, including me and my girlfriend, in the theater. And we were all pretty spread out. And we wore our masks the whole movie. So I was fine with it. And we brought in hand sanitizer. So every time we touched something, we sanitized. But yeah. I don't know. It's theaters, I think, have a lot to, like, I want them open. I don't want to see them go away. But it's also one of those things where theaters were gross before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And was sick. There was many times where I was just sick of going to the theater because of the people. And especially seeing how people are now because of COVID, it's worse.
Yeah, no, I ushed basically for a solid 2 years at the AMC. And, you know, and we did a pretty decent job, I thought. Mm-hmm. The Trader's Point location, for the size of it, was actually a pretty clean location.
Trader's Point is a pretty nice AMC theater.
Yeah. But I mean, just like, you know, I can't imagine, honestly, any movie theater chain reopening after the extended period of time that they've had to close and being successful at that. You know, I think we might see some more small chains, mm-hmm. or like local theaters. They might do well, but that's gonna be after we get a vaccine at that.
Yeah, I don't think theaters are going to come back for a while. I think even a lot of filmmakers were saying, like, they're not even comfortable going to a theater until a vaccine or something comes out. I think Spike Lee said he wasn't going to go to a theater until, like, this is all done and, like, we can handle it.
Yeah, I know. I know there's some people, there are some places, or not places, but, like, film companies that are filming right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing like on set filming, and they're having very strict protocols, like how they're filming.
I think the Batman is having very strict protocols. I mean, they had patents, and according to the article, got COVID. But then there was like conspiracy theories that it was because him and the director weren't getting along. Or there was a theory that like the director didn't think Pattinson was fit enough or like big enough to be Batman. So like he told him to go home for 2 weeks and get in shape. And I'm like, that's very... Why would you tell him to go home for 2 weeks and get in shape? That's not going to happen.
No, yeah.
But I know. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I know. I was gonna say, I know. Star Trek Discovery, which is a show on CBS All Access, they're filming season 4 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of their stuff is in Canada, and they're filming in like on sets, and so they do not have a lot of like, you know, outdoor environmental stuff, so they can really limit how much exposure they're having to the outside world and to each other as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of films and television shows they're like filming right now, which I'm happy about because people are still making content. And like me myself, I want to be filming stuff, but I feel like it's harder for me because I don't have like the resources or like the manpower to like I can do all the protocols, but like it's also I also don't want that many people on a set because I want to film smaller stuff right now.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those things where it's like I think I don't want to risk getting someone infected or like vice versa, me getting infected from someone. Even though like we would follow protocols and everything, but it's one of those things where it's like you have to at least I don't know it's gonna take a while to feel comfortable, I guess.
No, yeah, I totally get that. With me being immunocompromised and everything, I try not to go out as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But then I also have, since I'm working where I do work, you know, I'm considered a essential worker.
Mm-hmm.
so I have to go in every night that I can. And bear in mind, of course, since I'm working overnights, you know, I'm limiting the amount of people I'm talking to anyway.
Yeah,
like, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's been really, really interesting. Growing back to work as well, it's been really interesting.
That's what I was saying. Like when I went back to, when I was working at, like getting furloughed from two jobs this year and going back to Whole Foods, it was like, I was like, it's nice to be back at work, but it's also weird.
Yeah.
Cause that, like we were saying about how, like you were saying, theaters probably wouldn't even survive like an AMC. I was even thinking Studio Movie Grill, I don't think would survive with like how close you have to be to deliver the food. Like they need to figure out a new delivery system method, because they, the one they have does not work. I've said it. Yeah. I said it when I was working there. I say it like all the time. It never worked. It's stupid that you train your employees to duck down and hold the food.
Yeah.
And deliver it in such a dark theater. That was the Studio Movie Grill working there was like the worst.
I actually enjoyed my time at AMC because I became a bartender there at the very end of it. So I was, and I was the only bartender too. So, so I made a fair bit of money.
Yeah. You were working like what, box office too, and, concessions.
Yeah. I did a little bit of everything. I was a crew lead. So I did everything, that they needed me to do. I did stock, you know, the only thing I didn't do was managerial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the interesting things about that was when I did become the bartender, I had to take a pay cut, become a bartender, because they didn't have a plan in place yet for me to do like two different kinds of positions. Since when I'm making tip money when I'm in bartending, but I'm not making tip money when I'm at like concessions or box office. It was a strange little experience, but I enjoyed it.
I think that's what I didn't like about Studio Movie Grill is, as a runner, we got tips, but it was also shared with box office. And I'm like, why do they get tips? They don't do anything.
That is a little weird.
And I did a lot at Studio Movie Grill too. You remember, like I was a runner. I was a server's assistant. I was repair and maintenance. I helped out at the bar a couple times, not as a bartender, but like I was their runner.
Yeah.
I think I was helping out in the kitchen a little bit too. I did everything at that job.
Yeah, I mean, you did do everything, because I didn't go as much when you were working there, just because that was.
It was right when it opened and it was packed all the time.
Yeah, and we each had our own stuff going on, but like I just remember you mentioning multiple times how like you would clope in probably like at least two or three times a week.
Well, the last episode that Kelly was on, I was talking to her about how, when I got my schedule at Studio Movie Grill, it would just be a start time. There would never be an end time.
Yep.
And I remember one morning I went in at 9 a.m. to open on a Saturday morning, and they illegally kept me on for a double. I'm pretty sure they also didn't realize I worked the double, but they never sent me home, because their way of sending people home was like school. They'd be like, all right, if you're 17, like you can go home now. Like the runners that are under 18, you can leave. And it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, you have people work like 9-hour shifts, no overtime, mind you. So everyone was making $6.50 an hour.
That's so ridiculous.
Under obviously. Minimum wage. It was garbage. There was a lot of stuff that happened at that job that they got in trouble for. I'm pretty sure I know a couple other, because I kind of kept in touch with people after I left. Like, I did keep in touch with like certain people, but I was still finding out info about Studio Movie Grill, that location, and how like it progressively just got it was already on a downhill before I left, but as soon as like I left, it felt like a steep decline. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, like, oh, I was their best employee, like it went downhill. Like the stories I was hearing, like more and more people were leaving, and it just progressively just got worse.
Yeah, I believe that honestly. After you left, my family just stopped going to Studio Movie Grill as a whole.
I started going to Flicks, because I was like, this is a much better concept. They have it down way better. I don't mind the drive up there. Like, also, it's their own, Flicks is their own brewery, so they had their own beer.
Yeah.
And their beer is good.
Their beer is good. Yeah. When I was working there last year, that was one of the fun perks, was that as a bartender, you got to try their beer, and you had to know what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's the, Yeah, that's like, I always liked Flicks for that. Like the fact that it was their own brewery. Their food was also like, Studio Movie Girl had decent food. It was kind of garbage. But Flicks actually had like pretty good food that I was like, I could get down with this.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that they had was they had this like Nashville hot chicken sandwich, which was a limited time thing. And oh my God, was that stuff good. That was one of the most delicious things I think I've had ever, probably.
Studio Movie Grill kept getting rid of all their best food and replacing it with garbage.
Really?
Like, they had these, like, fish tacos. I'm not saying the fish tacos were good, but they had them, and we had multiple accounts of people getting sick off of the fish tacos.
That's awful.
Because it was, like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't fresh fish. It was, like, frozen, but they never cooked it right. Or, like, I don't know what it was, but I also remember they would skimp people on their portions, and I remember the GM came in one day and got mad at the kitchen for it. So you remember, like, the brownie sundae?
I never had it, but I do remember it, yeah.
Well, you know how in the photo it's like a big piece of brownie with like two ice cream scoops and then like the cinnamon tortilla chips, I think is what they were. I don't remember what. They're like the cinnamon chips.
Yeah.
So that big brownie never came out how it was. It always came out like an eighth of the size of that photo.
Holy moly.
And I was like, and people were paying like $10 for it. I'm like, really? You're skimping people that much? Or like, I'll never forget this. I don't know where this went, but some lady just ordered like a plain salad, like just plain. And I don't know what in the kitchen's mind thought a plain salad just meant cut an iceberg lettuce in half and put it in a bowl. Not even chopped, just literally cut it in half.
Oh my God.
And they're like, I was like, this is just lettuce. And they're like, that's a plain salad. I'm like, watch, I'm gonna take this to the lady and she's not gonna want it. And they're like, she'll take it, she can't see it. I walk up to this lady, I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, the kitchen didn't know what they were doing and made this like iceberg lettuce in half. This isn't your salad. You want me to take it back for you? And she's like, yes.
Genius.
I was like, these people are stupid.
Man. I don't have that many bad stories. Like, I don't have stories like that bad at AMC. The worst I think I had was like just like relationship drama that was going on between the teenagers that worked there.
That happened at Studio Movie Girl too.
And we were a lot more professional, I feel like, and we didn't have like, you know, managers dating like crew members. We never had anything like that.
I'm not gonna get into that, but I have some stories about that at Studio Movie Girl too. And
yeah, but we definitely had some inter-crew relationships, which was not a bad thing. I mean, they said one of the things what they said was like, you're free to date within your kind of your job description, if you will. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're crew, you can date the crew. If you're managers, you can date the managers, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, so we had like multiple crew members who would date other crew members, and that just became an awful situation because sometimes you know how teenagers are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we were teenagers at one point too. So the worst part I think I ever had to do was defuse a situation where one of my fellow crew members was getting really mad at her. They weren't even really dating. They like hooked up one time, and that was about it, honestly.
When was the time frame you worked at AMC again?
Early February of 2018 to basically November of 2019.
Okay, because I was gonna ask if you worked with my friend Kyle Salmon from high school, because he told me he worked at Traders Point in high school, and I remember the one story he told me that always made me laugh. Was he was like, he was getting ready to go clean a theater, right?
Mm-hmm.
He fucking told me that he like walked in and like the credits are rolling and there's these two people in the theater in the front row, mind you, the front row. And he was like, they were having sex and I didn't know what to do. So I just stood there. Like he's like, I didn't stand there. He's like, I left and waited till they finished. So then when they left, I cleaned.
I've heard that story.
I was like, what the fuck, Kyle? Why didn't you just like kick him out? He was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, Kyle, you goof.
Yeah, I mean, I just, there were multiple stories that I heard when I was there. Nothing, mm-hmm. Nothing like reportable though, like for me that I experienced.
It was like, yeah, I had like similar stories, not like that I experienced, but when I worked at Family Video, I had similar stories told to me from other, like the managers of the other stores. Because oh, for anybody God. That knows Family Video, they're the only like rental store still around, because most of them have porn, and that's how they make their business.
Yeah, yep.
And I remember the one I worked at had it like it was you had to go through saloon doors, and I remember I had to go through that room many times because the employee like our storage room was in there. So like when I had to stock things, I had to go into that room. So I had to go through the creaky saloon doors of. And you had to hear the cries of the sinners through the door. And I you could always tell who was going to go in there when,
yeah,
like you're like, obviously I'm working. If like a creepy old dude comes in, I'm like, you're just going to go to the back. Like, I know what you're here for.
Yeah.
The best people or like the ones that were all the funniest to me were the ones that would be like, I'm going to peruse like the new releases, see what's out. And they slowly make their way back. But that saloon door gives you away because you just hear the and I'm like, I know where you're at, bro.
Oh, my God. No.
Did I tell you? Because at Family Video, you could play any movie you wanted as long as it was at least PG-13. And they don't say like fuck or like it's not too bad because it like kids come in there.
Sure.
And I forgot Dawn of the Planet of the Apes says fuck because I put that movie on and they said it and I went, got to change it. Sorry. I was like wanting to watch those movies.
Yeah.
Usually I either stuck with like Harry Potter, The Dark Knight, or I usually try to find a movie that was like 2.5 hours because yeah. I would be like, all right, if I play this 3 times, my shift's over.
Sure.
So I was playing The Dark Knight on this particular day. Which was most days I would put that movie in or like Batman Begins or something. But it was about like an hour into the movie. And like, I've seen that movie so many times, like I know it's an hour into the movie. And this guy like walks in and does like his little, like looks at the new releases and then goes into the sinner's room. And, he's in there cause I can see him in the security mirror cause we have it. So I can like see.
Yeah.
He's just walking around that room, but I'm like keeping an eye on him. And so then The Dark Knight ends. So another hour and a half goes by. This dude hasn't come back up. He's still in there. I like check the mirror and he's in there.
Huh.
So then I replay the movie, gets to the same point that he entered the store. So about another hour, this dude finally emerges out of that room and leaves. He didn't rent anything. He just walked around that room for almost 3 hours.
That's horrifying.
He didn't do anything because I was like constantly gauging him in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I had to go back into that room to grab some sodas to restock. And I was like checking. I was like making sure there was nothing I had to like clean up or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Making sure I didn't have to clean up anything and hoping I didn't have to clean up anything.
Of course. Yeah, wow, that's a
Family Video was interesting.
Yeah,
that was also like that was a boring job because it was fine for what it was, but it would be an 8-hour shift by yourself.
Yeah,
like I would open the store and just manage it by myself the whole day.
Yeah, that's something I could not do. Even if I tried to, I don't think I could do that just because I'd cry myself to sleep, honestly. But, you know, we do what we have to for money, right?
We got to do that. I think that job was like, because that job was all right, but you like had tasks to do, but I would always get them done in my first hour. So then for 7 hours, I would just watch movies.
Yeah.
Which I mean, is a good gig. But it was always weird just being by myself there. And like, you have to keep an eye on the whole store because the store I worked at, people tried to rip you off and try to steal shit.
Yeah.
And I remember this one girl. I don't know if I ever met her because it was about when I was like quitting to go back to college because I only had it for like a summer job.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, Planet Fitness didn't hire me. even though I was working there for 2 years and I was working at the one in Chicago.
Yeah.
But I guess this girl they hired got smooth talked by these guys that came in. So when new video games get released, people have to put a $20 deposit down on each game.
Oh, interesting.
So when they return the game, they get their deposit back. It's an incentive. So like they don't steal the game since it's $60 new. And then you can just go to Family Video and rent it for like, I think it's like $2 a night or something like that. I forgot what it was.
Jeez.
But you have to put that deposit down. And that's where a lot of people, like, if you knew they were going to rip you off, they wouldn't do it. So they would just leave. And you can only do one new game. You can only do one new game. So you couldn't do like six new games. So this girl lets them rent six games, puts no deposit down. These guys are just like left with six new games. So then I think we contacted them and told them, like, you have to bring it back. Like, we have your info on file. If you don't bring it back, like, we're going to charge you full retail price for the games.
Oh my God.
And I think their card was on file. I believe that's how it worked.
Yeah.
So if they didn't bring it back, they would have gotten charged almost $400.
Oh my God.
I don't know whatever happened. I don't have a conclusion to that story.
Best story that you've ever told, Tim. Best story.
Hey, I got a lot of them where I got a lot of good points, but I don't got an ending.
That's fair.
But yeah, I don't know. Those are like oddball jobs, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like, I think if any theater survives, like you said, going back to that, it could be like a smaller theater. I was honestly thinking Flicks could survive. Like, if you just separate the theater and make it like tables, like make it a restaurant, separate the tables, like it could work somehow. Where Studio Movie Girl, you can't, because they have like tiny little fold up tables.
Yeah, honestly, like, and that's what I've been telling people too, is like, you know, I don't think Flicks reopened at all during the COVID pandemic, but I think that was actually smart of them. So they didn't have to try and rehire everybody and bring everybody back and pay everybody. They just have to kind of maintain.
I heard a rumor though, when I came back, that someone, I went up to Westfield for something and I overheard people talking. They're like, yeah, Flicks might not even open at all. Like, they might just stay closed for good. And I was like, no.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, unfortunately, just because I don't really leave much of much of my area. But but I could believe that if I didn't know who was the manager. But because I do know who the managerial team is, I don't believe that for a second.
Is Ron still one of the managers there? Ronald Hahn.
No, he wasn't there when I was there. If he wasn't in my section.
Because he was my manager at Studio Movie Grill. He was like one of the managers I liked.
Yeah.
But it was weird. I remember I went to Flicks one time with some people from Studio Movie Grill, and three or four people who worked at Flicks also worked at Studio Movie Grill. So we all just like met in the lobby and had like a reunion. And it was strange.
That nice. Now that you say that name, that does sound familiar, but
because I know Ron worked there and was their manager, and then another manager that I worked with at Studio who I liked, named Ernesto, was, I don't know what he did at Flicks, but I know he worked there.
Yeah, I never met a guy named Ernesto.
So. And then a guy in the kitchen named Ashton, I think at one point worked at Flicks. He had like a goatee and always wore a baseball cap.
Name sounds familiar again. I don't know. It's been so long. I say it's been so long. It's been a year. It's been a long year.
It has been.
Oh my God. But I'm trying to think. The people that I knew. I don't remember anybody's name. I just remember one of the manager's names was nicknamed Hightower. And he was cool. But I don't remember actually anybody other than him now I think about it.
Yeah, because I only remember like those few people that worked at Flicks. It was weird too. Like right after Studio Movie Grill, me and Andrew, who both worked at Studio Movie Grill, got a job at this chocolate store downtown called South Bend Chocolate Company. And it was me and him, My friend Jess, who lived in California for a bit, and Ernesto was there, and then also a guy named Leland, and all five of us worked at Studio Movie Girl at the exact same time, and all of us kind of left around the same time, and all worked at South Bend Chocolate together. So, like, we all just moved stores.
That's wild, honestly.
I think, and I don't think I realized they all worked there until I got the job there. Because Andrew, I think, got it first, and then I got hired after him. Because I think we both applied around the same time.
Gotcha.
There's been a lot of jobs that I've had.
Yeah, I've had multiple too, but yeah, I mean, only really two have been movie related.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can you technically count for me like movie related at Universal Studios, like theme park?
See, I would honestly, just because it's, you know, I know you didn't personally like film movies there, but
not yet.
Not yet anyway. Yeah, exactly. But I would consider that movie related.
Yeah, I kind of miss that job. I was like, I've been thinking about that job a lot recently. Like, how I like right now would have been the Grinchmas season.
Oh, that would have been cool.
And it's weird because like we closed around Grinchmas, or like we closed in like March, and then people were being like hoping to open by Halloween. So we were like, we just finished the Horror Nights, and now we're just going to reopen in Horror Nights. But that didn't happen, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Yeah, I honestly don't think I could work at a amusement park like that. It seems rough.
I wouldn't say rough. You just deal with a lot of like people who don't have common sense. Like, I get it, you're on vacation and you're having fun, but don't be stupid, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I was going to say the biggest challenge was dealing with people who don't speak English, because you get a lot of foreign tourists who come in and they can't speak any English at all. So you're trying to like help them. Like,
oh, yeah.
So a lot of the times for me, I would just like be pointing at the menu or like the picture and asking like how many they want. But I think the biggest thing that annoyed me at the park was like during Horror Nights, everyone's just trying to get drunk. So it's just dealing with all these people wanting to get beer, but we have rules.
Yeah.
And it's like all these people are annoying, like trying to buy like five beers. Like one person would try to buy like five beers.
Yeah. And it's like you probably can't sell that many to one person at a time anyway.
It's one per person.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'd be like, oh, my friends are over there in line. I'm like, well, they have to be here. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you bring all five of you all together and you show us there's the five of you each getting one per person.
Exactly. Like some people were cool about it. Like I was like, all right, like they'd be like, oh, my bad. And they would like call their friend over. Friend might be annoyed, but like whatever. The one that annoyed me, there was this girl who came up, like her and her husband, I think, were trying to get two beers each. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, it's one per person. And she was like, well, did you know California law is two drinks per ID? And I was like, did you know universal law is one drink per ID? I was like, California law means shit here. Like, you're in universal, sweetie. This is a different level of law.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, you have state law, right? Which is supposed to be like the overarching thing.
But then you have company policies.
Yeah, but then you have company policies which override state law. So it's exactly. Like, because it's private property.
People don't get that.
No, they don't.
It's so stupid. But yeah, for the most part, Universal was fun. It was like, I don't know. I always thought about it. I was like, even on the shitty days, I'm like, I'm at a theme park. So like I get good perks from it.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the cool things that I like about my current job, honestly, is that I get a lot of good perks. Like, and I would say perks as in like I get benefits.
Oh, you get benefits at your job? Okay.
I'm considered full time. Yep. So I work 40 hours a week and I get benefits if I need them.
That's what I'm trying to get on my job. Cause technically right now I got hired on as seasonal.
Yeah.
But I applied for a supervisor position, which is full time. So I'm trying to get those benefits because I need them.
Yeah, I'm lucky that since my mom, as you know, works at a hospital, mm-hmm. so I get to stay on her insurance until I'm 26. But in the meantime, I'm trying to save up some money to get, you know, save up money so I can move out, but then also save up money to really start building on a nest egg to eventually get my own insurance for car insurance, health insurance, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, Claudia and I are trying to save up enough money. Like, with our jobs, like, we get good pay. It's, like, as good as LA, but the best mm-hmm. part about being in Indy is you don't get as much tax taken out as LA.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, Universal, because the beginning of every month, they took out union fees. So we would lose about, like, $60 or $70 of our check every month.
That's rough.
At the beginning of every month, which sucked because when you worked holidays, like, so they consider Thanksgiving and Black Friday double pay holidays. So if you worked those 2 days, which I did, I made more money in those 2 days than the rest of those 3 days I worked that week. So, like, I think my check before tax was taken out was around, like, $950. But because of tax, they took out about, like, $150. But then union fees came there, like, that next week. So I lost an additional $60, I think.
Oh, my God.
So they ended up taking, like, $200 out of my check, which was bullshit.
That is the one. I guess that's the one good thing is that, you know, the cost of living in Indy isn't as high as it is in LA.
It's not as high, which is great.
Yeah, but then again, you also don't have kind of that standard of living isn't as high either.
I would disagree because, so the apartment I was at in LA was a one bed, one bath in Glendale.
Okay.
It was about 650 square feet, I want to say, like around that, like 600, 650.
Mm-hmm.
That was running me about $1,450 a month plus utilities, so gas, electric, and Wi-Fi. So yeah. That's probably like an additional, depending on like if summer when the AC is running, that shit's going to be high.
Yeah.
So I was probably paying maybe around like $2,000 a month.
Oh my God.
Over $2,000 a month for that little tiny apartment.
Yeah.
Versus the ones we've been looking at in Indy are about like 1,200 square feet for like two bed, two and a half bath for maybe, I've seen them between like $850 and $1,200.
Yeah.
So it's like you're getting more for your money. And most of the apartments I've been seeing in Indy have washers and dryers in them. So we had to also pay for laundry. So we had to go to laundromats. So that was an additional maybe like $20 every 2 weeks.
Jeez.
Because we'd always just, we either went like every 2 weeks or like once a month and just did like a big load of laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would go to like the laundromats that you could get the big washer and dryer, but it's also time. It's like, and in LA, you don't have time because everywhere's far and
yeah.
You got to schedule out what you're going to do. You got to schedule out like where you're going to go so you can avoid certain things.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if I ever told you when I was working at the talent agency that it was 10 miles from my apartment. Like on a map, it's 10 miles, like around that.
Sure.
So I left work. I left for work to get there by, I think I got there at like 9 o'clock every day. I would have to leave my apartment maybe at like 7:45.
Oh my God.
To sit within like 45 to an hour's worth of traffic. I think I got there at 9. It might have been like 8 or 8:30. But then I would leave at 5:30 or 6:30, something like that.
Yeah.
I want to say, I feel like it was 5:30 I left every day.
Right.
So tell me why those 10 miles one day took me 2 hours to get home.
That is LA traffic. That's all I got to say.
It was legit.
It
was legit bumper to bumper the whole time.
That's awful.
It's something I don't miss, but when COVID happened, like all the traffic cleared up. So the beginning of COVID was nice because I could drive. Like if I needed to, because Claudia was still working at the time, and we only had my car. I could drive her to work. And we lived in Glendale. Her job was down in Norwalk, which is pretty close to Anaheim. It's like the middle point between LA and Anaheim. Normally it would take like an hour to get down there from Glendale.
Sure.
I took her down there when COVID started. I got there maybe in like 25 minutes.
Wow.
Which is normally what it should, like, that's like here.
That's like Indy traffic.
That's like if I wanted to drive from here to like Westfield or Noblesville, like that.
Okay.
One. That's probably, yeah. I feel like it was like 20 miles to Norwalk.
Wow.
Something like that.
And normally it would have taken you an hour. That, or an hour, if not longer. That is ridiculous.
An hour minimum.
Yeah.
Depending on if I hit traffic or construction, it adds.
Yeah. But hey, that had to be one of the other good things about California was, you know, you had good roads.
Sometimes.
At least it wasn't pothole central like it is here.
They're just like the roads there are always under construction. Like the five, that shit's up. According to Claudia, so when I moved there 2 years ago, it was under construction. Mm-hmm. According to Claudia, that shit's been under construction for way longer than that, and they just haven't finished it. It's like it's not here, but I think there's a highway when you go from Indianapolis to Dayton. Because when we always take Brittany to college, that highway was never finished. In like the 4 years we were like visiting her.
I know the highway you're talking about. I don't know what it's on the interstate that you're talking about. I don't know what it's called, but
it's like right when you get to Dayton, like those, like all those exits.
Yes, I know the one you're talking about.
But yeah, it's like the construction in LA is a nightmare. The tourism, like the blocks between Sunset Boulevard and Hollywood Boulevard, are nightmares. I like always hated going down there because of all the people.
Yeah.
All the people and all the traffic, and the roads are tiny. So you also get to like neighborhood streets and cars are parked on the road because they don't have parking.
Sure. The streets
become like one lane.
Oh my God.
And I've driven through like Mulholland Drive and like the Beverly Hills streets. I had to drive up to Bel Air. Not going to get into that.
Oh, that sounds rough.
I will tell you when we're done recording. It was for my job at the talent agency, and it is not one of my fonder memories.
Okay.
Of the job.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so, you seen anything good recently? Like I know we had talked about that earlier, but if you watched anything good.
I'm currently watching Clone Wars on Disney Plus. So, I'm on the last 4 episodes. And according to Arsenio, who I will have on the show at the end of this season, he said the last 4 episodes will make me cry. And I'm going to hold him to that.
I haven't seen Clone Wars personally, but my brother has. And he, you know, he really enjoyed it. So
I've been liking it. It gets better each season.
Yeah.
And I guess from what I read, I'll like let you know, because I don't know how much Aiden has spoiled it for you.
He hasn't at all, actually. So
okay, so the whole show is like it's between 2 and 3, right?
Right.
And I guess the very end of season 7, and I don't think it's a spoiler. I feel like it's kind of like just the plot point, or like you know where it's leading to. But I guess the very end of season 7, it gets into like when Order 66 happens. So like the whole show is like leading to that.
That's going to be rough then.
Yeah, it was already rough in the movie.
Like, that was... Hi, Master Anakin! Why are you here? What's going on?
He killed younglings.
Like, oh my God. That was one of the rougher moments of Revenge of the Sith, honestly.
Revenge of the Sith has good moments. That's the best, like, honestly, it's the best of the prequels, but it has, like, good moments.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it was rougher to watch, you know what I mean?
But I'm watching that. I'm watching The Mandalorian. So yep. I won't get too much into that either, because that's going to be the end of this season's podcast is going to be all about Mandalorian with Arsenio. So be on the lookout for that. That is actually coming out on Christmas, I believe. That'll be our Christmas Day episode.
Very cool.
So it's a little gift. We're going to talk about all things Star Wars, since normally around this time I'm talking about the best movies of the year, but I haven't really seen many movies this year, honestly.
There haven't been any movies this year.
And that's the thing, is like, I mentioned on one of my episodes how at home, like, yes, I like watching movies at home, but like, I also miss going to the theater because the theater was my excuse to focus on a movie without looking at my phone or being distracted by anything else.
Yeah.
So like at home, I'd rather be watching like a TV show where I can probably look away and not miss anything and like hear it.
Sure.
Where like, or you can even look away and nothing really cinematic happens that like I need to see a camera movement or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are shows where it happens, but for the most part, I'm watching like between Clone Wars, I'm watching Schitt's Creek with Claudia.
Oh, it's such a good show.
We just got to season 5, so don't say anything.
I'm not going to say anything at all. Other than I love David. That's all I'm going to say.
David is the best. David is always a mood. Every time you pause the show on David, his facial reactions is a mood.
Yes, yes.
David's the best. I like Moira. Moira is a bad bitch.
Yeah.
I like Schitt's Creek. So we just finished season 4. So we're going to be watching season 5 and 6 soon.
Yep.
We also watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We watched all of it and caught up.
Cool.
We are going to finish The Good Place. It's kind of on hold right now because they added the last season to Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
But I do want to finish it. I just want to finish it. So I'm like watching TV shows. I'm waiting to try to get a PS5 whenever they go in stock.
Yeah, good luck.
I know. I'm going to probably have to wait a little bit for it, which I don't honestly kind of don't mind because I'm going to wait and see if they fix any of the early like bugs with it.
Yeah.
Because I think I made that mistake because I got an Xbox One when it came out and it was one of the worst decisions I made.
Yeah.
It was all because here's the thing. I made that decision only because I had an Xbox 360.
Yep.
I got the PS3 after the Xbox One and the... Or no, after the 360, I had a PS3 as well because I wanted to play the Sly Cooper games. But yep. I got the Xbox One. I had a debate where I was like, do I get a PS4 or an Xbox One? And I was like, oh, I'm used to like... I've been playing most games on 360, so I'm kind of used to the Xbox controls. So I'll just get like a Xbox One. And I remember it was a really hard... like. For me, I was debating and I didn't really do a lot of research. I did research, but I think for me, I was just like, oh, I've been playing 360, so Xbox One is the logical choice.
Sure.
Should have gone with the PS4 because I had a PS2 and a PS3. So my research was bullshit.
Yeah.
But the Xbox One was a horrible decision. I don't think I ever played it. And then I ended up selling it. I got the PS4 and that was a much better choice.
Yes.
But in the meantime, sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, I have a PS4 now, finally.
Finally?
I said finally. Yeah, I bought it like with the stimulus money, actually, that we got.
Do we have, do I have you on PS4? On the...
You do not, so we'll have to add each other later.
I'll have to add you, because I was going to say, in the meantime, while I'm waiting for the PS5, I just received as a gift, I got Spider-Man Miles Morales, and I'm playing that.
Oh yeah, that's I need to get that for the PS4 so bad.
If you get the PS5, so say you buy like the PS4 copy, you can play that copy on your PS5 so you don't have to rebuy it on the PS5.
I've heard that, yeah.
And I also got just because I wanted it, because I have the other ones, I got Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
That looks good, actually.
I want to play surprised. It like it's Assassin's Creed, so I'm not really expecting much, and I know it's gonna have a lot of bugs.
Sure.
But I'm like, it's a Viking game. So fuck it. I'll play it.
So, ironically enough, people are saying, but like most of the reviews that I've seen, at least on Twitter and the consensus around Twitter, is that Valhalla is actually quite a good game.
And that's what I've been saying.
And that it brings Assassin's Creed back to like, it's going to be buggy, but Assassin's Creed has always been buggy.
I mean, that's what happens when you have a yearly release.
Yeah, so it brings it back to kind of the to really Assassin's Creed 1 almost in its simplicity, but also the storytelling.
I feel like I didn't really like Assassin's Creed 1. I liked Assassin's Creed 2. I felt like that's where it started getting better.
Well, yeah, I mean, Altair as a character is not
fantastic. Ezio. Ezio's the much better character.
Ezio's a better character, and because he's too... Brotherhood and Revelations.
Mm-hmm. Well, they bring Altair and Revelations too.
Yeah, and then you get three with it, which is Connor.
Which is decent. It's kind of like
three.
It's kind of hit or miss. I feel like it's all right. I kind of I forgot what it was about it where I was just like, I think I was underwhelmed by it. I think I was expecting a lot more.
Yeah. Black Flag is fantastic. Probably the best of the Assassin's Creed games in my mind.
I got beef with Black Flag.
Oh, do you?
So it's about my... It's not really Black Flag. It's more my Xbox One. And this is where I stopped playing my Xbox One. And I'm not sure if I've told this on the podcast. So I apologize if I'm repeating the story. But... So when I got the Xbox One, it came with Black Flag and what was the one after it? The Assassin's Creed after it.
Oh, was it Rogue? No,
I think
Unity.
I think it was Unity because I think it came with a combo pack of Unity and Black Flag.
Okay.
But it didn't come with the physical game. It came with a digital copy.
Yeah.
Of both of them. And I was like, that's kind of bullshit. I'd rather get the actual disc. Like, I know the PS3, I got it. You and me bought the PS3 together. I got The Last of Us with it.
Yep.
So, and it came with the actual copy.
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting with Assassin's Creed, but it was just the digital. And I was like, oh, whatever. I was like, oh, I'll play Black Flag. I never finished it on the 360.
Sure.
So I'm like playing it. I'm like, oh, this is a lot better than I remember. I remember this not being good. Or I was like not invested in it. So I'm playing it. I'm almost near the end. I'm at like 79% maybe, like story. Or like I think I'm almost done with the story.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why I get on one day. My Xbox One completely wiped the memory. So all that progress was gone. I turned the game on and it's like new game. And I was like, where's my continue? And it wasn't there. And I was like, nope, not playing that again. Fuck that. Nope, done with you, Xbox.
Oh, my God.
I was so mad. I think I shut the Xbox off. I think I unplugged it, even, and never played it again.
That's a mood, though, with the Xbox, especially. I had a 360 that Red Ring of Death to me.
Which one?
I don't know if I told you that, but like I had a 360 that Red Ring of Death to me in the middle of a game I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Red Ring of Death, which is why I never bought another Microsoft console after that.
Yeah, like my 360 is still holding on, but I only am keeping it for now because I have like Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto and I think the Guitar Hero games. I actually have a Guitar Hero controller.
Yeah,
so I'm rocking it. Literally.
Yeah.
But I'm holding on to that. But I also during the pandemic, I was actually able to get a Switch literally before everything locked down and the Switches sold out.
Very nice.
So I was very happy about that. And we also upgraded our TV in LA.
Yeah.
We were getting some cool stuff during lockdown. And it was like things we like were able to like pay off and afford, even with like the money out in LA and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so right now I'm still rocking the PS4, the Switch. Those are like my two main ones right now.
Same, actually, same.
I want to replug my PS3 in and maybe try to get that working again.
Yeah.
Because I just want to play the Sly Cooper games. That's all I have the PS3 for.
Aren't they on the PS4?
I think I looked. I don't know if they're still available.
Like maybe a limited release.
I feel like I wish I would have gotten it on my PS4 or like they bring it back. They should just like, honestly, they should remaster all four of them.
Yeah, they should.
And just keep making them. Well, the fourth one kind of sucked.
The fourth one wasn't great. Yeah, but it's hard to capture that magic of the first.
Those first three are just chef's kiss. Like so
perfect.
Good. The second one. So good.
Oh my God. That second one is fire.
That is Band of Thieves.
Yes.
For anyone that doesn't know the Sly Cooper trilogy, that was childhood.
Well, that Ratchet and Clank, you know...
The new Ratchet and Clank was pretty good, though, on the PS4.
Yeah, I know that, but like you know, we were up during the heyday of platformers, you know, RPG platformers. You know, you had Sly Cooper, Ratchet and Clank, Crash Bandicoot, Spyro. What else do we have? I'm missing a big one. Jack and Daxter.
I mean, the Uncharted was still kind of when we were young. I didn't play them until college, though.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, there's just so many good games that we grew up with.
I just like, yeah, I think for me it was always Spyro and Sly Cooper were my two like go-tos.
For me, since I never really had I had to buy all my own consoles usually.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with the GameCube.
I had the GameCube too.
But I grew up with Animal Crossing actually. So when New Horizons came out, I was like, oh man, this is like a hit. It's like a throwback to my childhood.
Did you get, you got Animal Crossing, right?
Yeah, I have Animal Crossing.
I haven't played that in months. I have it, and I don't think I played it. I got bored because I was like, I'm doing the same things and nothing's happening. Like,
that's the general thing with Animal Crossing. You really have to be dedicated to it.
That's what I've noticed. I think also Last of Us 2 came out, so that was my full attention for a while.
Sure. Yeah, I need to get Last of Us 2 because I still haven't played that.
Yes, you do.
Well, I have so many games on my PS4 that I haven't played, honestly. Like, I have...
Same,
I have,
honestly.
I have Horizon Zero Dawn. I haven't finished that. I own God of War and haven't even started that.
Oh, I haven't even... Because I was trying to play through the first three before I got to the new one. Because I wanted... Because that's what I did with the Uncharted series. I played through all the first three and then played the fourth one.
Yeah.
But I don't want to...
Isn't God, the new God of War, though, for the PS4, isn't that one... Like, just isn't that just this brand new story though?
I mean, it's still in the continuity of the first three. Because I've seen it, so it's not a spoiler. But like, or it's a spoiler if you don't know the God of War storyline. But yeah, the mark on his chest is from the very end of God of War 3 when I think Zeus stabs him or he stabs himself.
Yes. Okay.
But that mark is on him in the fourth one. So it's like continuity wise, it's still in the same universe, but they haven't explained like why he's still alive, how he got the sun, and why he's in like Norse mythology now.
But they
said it's part of a new trilogy. So like this is going to be a whole new thing. And I think they already announced the fifth one.
Yeah, the fifth one's coming.
It's not going to come out for a while.
Well, no, it's an exclusive to PS5.
Well, yeah, it's. I think God of War has always been a Sony exclusive.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, they're not going to back release it to. Yeah.
They don't need to anymore. Well, the only reason they did I feel like the only reason they released Spider-Man and Assassin's Creed on PS4 is because not everybody's going to get a PS5. So yeah. They're like, oh, you can get it, and you'll just be able to play it.
Yep.
I think all your PS4 games you can play on PS5.
That I don't know, but I'd be interested to see.
I think I read somewhere that like any of your PS4 games you should be able to play.
Hmm.
But if they don't, I'm going to still keep my PS4.
Well, yeah, the PS4 is an amazing console.
It is. I got my Red Dead 2 on there.
Nice. You see, I do a lot of PC gaming personally. Like my Steam library... Just out of curiosity, because I have it up right now, how many games do I have? 76 on favorite. So I have 253 games on my PC.
Damn.
That tells you anything for how... And I've played like maybe 10 of them.
Like for me right now, I have a bunch of PS4 games I need to play and Switch games I need to play.
Yeah.
Like I'm like halfway through Ghost of Tsushima and I kind of stopped, but I need to go back to it.
Sure.
I started Jedi Fallen Order,
mm-hmm.
but then Spider-Man came out, so I'm playing that. Playing Miles Morales. I have Valhalla to play. Plus, I have a couple other Assassin's Creed games I need to play.
Mm-hmm.
God of War. And then on the Switch, I'm still doing Odyssey. I haven't started Breath of the Wild because I was like, I want to finish Odyssey before I jump into Breath of the Wild.
That's fair.
Plus, I bought the Mario 3D All-Stars game.
Yeah.
I remastered all three of them. I was playing Mario 64, but mm-hmm. I was getting annoyed because the controls don't really translate that well to the Switch.
Yeah.
So I'm like kind of annoyed with it, but I want to play through all those as well.
Have you played any Pokemon?
I played Let's Go Pikachu because I was like, it's a remaster of my OGs.
Yeah. So you haven't played Sword or Shield then?
No, because I remember one of the Pokemon games I got, it was like one of their newer ones, and I think it was like X or Y.
Yeah, for the 3DS, yeah.
I was not crazy about it, like what they're doing. And for me, like Pokemon kind of stopped after
Diamond and Pearl.
Is that Gen 4?
That is Gen 4.
Yeah, after that, like up to that point.
That's when we were really into Pokemon too, Gen 4.
Like the first four gens are just solid. Like at least for me, the first two are solid. And then 3 is good, like Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah. I know Gen 5, which is Black and White, is considered one of the best by a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah. But like then again, like looking at me, you know, I've kept up with Pokemon since I was a little kid. And I have 205 hours of Pokemon Sword right now.
I don't know if I can get into the new ones anymore. I was like even like researching it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can either get that or I can get Let's Go Pikachu and do first gen. And I was like, yep, I'll just do that because that's what I like and that's what I know.
Sure.
And I think they're remastering Gen 2. I feel like I heard a rumor that that's going to be the next one they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Which is, I think they're going to do a Let's Go for Kanto, which is Gen 2.
I hope they do because I want to remaster that one.
See, I don't know how I feel about that because we still haven't gotten a Gen 4 or Gen 5 remaster like they've done for many previous seasons. So I'm like waiting for those.
I feel like they won't do that unless they remaster the first three because that's what the people want. That's what I want. And I'm
a lot of people want Gen 4 and Gen 5 and they want like a Switch version of Gen 3.
I would be down for a Switch version of like Gen 2 and Gen 3.
But yeah, so I don't know. I keep up with a lot of Nintendo news.
Well, I feel like I heard a rumor though, because isn't Zelda's anniversary coming up soon? Or like an anniversary of Zelda? Because all this year they were doing Mario remasters.
Let me see. I think. And that I heard sounds familiar.
Because I heard a rumor. Because I think what is it, the 30th anniversary of Mario this year?
Yes.
That. Because of that, they were remastering all those games. And I think Zelda's coming up with like a big anniversary soon. And I heard a rumor that they're going to try to remaster a lot of like Zelda's original games for the Switch.
Could be.
Because I think they already remastered Link's Awakening because I have that one.
Yeah.
I haven't played it, but I want to.
Well, then I know that they're releasing a prequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, that's like a crossover with something else too.
It's a Warriors game, so it's like Hyrule Warriors, but for that.
Yeah, I saw that's coming out.
Pikmin 3, which is on the Wii U originally, is out on Switch. That looks amazing.
Oh yeah, I heard about that too.
I don't know, just I love Nintendo everything, so I'm a little biased.
That's what I'm also bummed about at Universal. So they were gonna have the next like land, like themed land that they're building is Nintendo World.
No way.
That was supposed to open next year, 2021.
Oh, man. Now I'm jealous.
The only downside is because it's California. They don't have a lot of the land space, so they can't have everything.
Yeah.
So I think they were going to have like a store, a restaurant, and one ride. But they're not even going to... What ride was it? I don't even think it's... I think it's the Mario Kart ride. I think that's what we're getting.
So it'd be like a go-kart thing?
Yeah, but like I think there's only one Universal that's getting everything. And that's like a Yoshi ride, a Donkey Kong ride, and the Donkey Kong ride's a roller coaster.
Oh my God.
With like a disappearing track. To make it look like you, like when you jump over the thing.
Yeah.
And then I think they're getting the Mario Kart. But because I think California's small, the Yoshi ride that would have been at Nintendo World got switched to Secret Life of Pets because it's the exact same track layout.
Ugh.
But they themed it for Secret Life of Pets and put it up in what was going to be the new Illumination section of the park.
Boo.
And I was like, just make the whole like Nintendo World because like everybody was going to transfer it. Like it was going to be on Lower Lot and everybody was going to transfer there.
Yeah,
I was gonna transfer there.
maybe the Florida one's getting all of it.
I think the one they said would get everything, I think, is Beijing.
That makes sense.
Beijing or Japan? One of those
probably
two.
Japan, honestly.
I forgot which one. There's like, it's online. Go look it up. Like, a lot of the concept art's really cool.
I will have to. That sounds really awesome.
But yeah, it's like, I wish that was like, I wish it, everything was fine and there was no virus so I could be working Nintendo World.
Yeah, for real, honestly.
Yeah, it's a bummer because I wanted that. Like a bunch of people wanted that.
It just sounds awesome in general, but you know, we do what we can.
We have to.
Yep.
They should make a PlayStation Land. I don't know if they probably have some like
Sony Land.
Sony. That was a cool thing. I remember it wasn't like a theme park or anything, but there was like, remember Rock on the Range? Or yep. I don't even know what it's called anymore.
Yeah.
Because they used to have, I think Sony was one of their sponsors. So they had a PlayStation like trailer and you could go in there during the concert and test out like new games.
I do remember that now. Yeah.
Because I think Paul and I went into there and played a couple games and then we got like PlayStation glasses.
Nice.
It was fun. That was good times.
Yeah.
That's going to be something. I don't know how they're going to do when everything's fine is like concerts.
Yeah. I'm going to wait a while, even after we get a vaccine, to go to concerts, because you know not everybody's going to get the vaccine right away.
No, and that shit's going to be hot and sweaty and disgusting.
Not fun.
Nope. Like, I was telling Claudia, I want to go to, like, a Run the Jewels show.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
When everything's back to normal. But even then, yeah, like, I'll wait till a vaccine or something, or well into the future when it's, fine to go back.
Yes, indeed.
What have you been watching in quarantine?
So I've been watching a lot of Star Trek, actually, because so for your listeners and your viewers, while Tim is the huge Star Wars guy, I am a huge Star Trek person. So I have been watching a lot of Star Trek recently, which is like Star Trek Lower Decks, which is an animated, it's kind of adult animation series. Based around it's based around like your every average day crewman or crew person for Star Trek. I've also been watching a little bit of Star Trek Discovery, which is their newest show on CBS All Access. I watched a lot of Picard, which is a return to Star Trek Next Generation, which is from the 80s and 90s. They're coming out with a new series called Star Trek Strange New Worlds, I believe, which is a spinoff of Discovery, but also a prequel to Kirk and Spock. It's going to be Captain Pike, who is the previous captain of the Enterprise before Captain Kirk takes over in the original series.
What's going on with the, I don't know, do you know what's going on with like the Star Trek movies?
Yeah, so as far as I know, those are finished.
Like the Abrams ones?
Yeah, so they had the first two, and they had Beyond. So the way I call them is Star Trek Wrath of Khan 2, Electric Boogaloo, and Star Trek Beyond. And after Beyond, they did say that timeline is canon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool because they mentioned that in Picard too.
Mm-hmm.
Basically that is part of that through everything else that we know, like all the TV series, all the movies from like the early 2000s and 80s and 90s, those are all canon in the main timeline. But then what we have is the Kelvin timeline, which is where we get the Abrams movie.
Okay.
So it really is kind of quite an interesting thing because, you know, we've got all the, the Star Trek universe takes place so far in the future that none of us will hopefully be around to see it and when that comes to fruition. So it really is interesting to see what they do with it in the future because the new Discovery season is like 1,000 years from original series.
So you see, I don't know if you listened to my last episode with Kelly when she was talking about how she's going to watch Star Wars now.
I haven't seen that, no.
Okay, so she was telling me how like she's finally getting into watching, like not, I don't know if she's getting into it like as a fan or if she's like going to sit down and watch them. Because she said she watched the sequel trilogy, but she hasn't seen the original or the prequels.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, you're probably confused on like everything.
Yeah.
But she was saying that she never like watched them because she thought it was too confusing because about like how it's like the original trilogy, but then the new ones that came out are before that. And then now these new ones are after the original.
Yeah, sure.
And I was like, well, it's by episode, so it's pretty simple to follow.
Yeah.
But for me, like Star Trek is like, I don't know what's going on with like, because it's all those timelines and all the shows. I'm like, this is like,
yeah,
I feel like if I sit down and watch it, I'll know. It's one of those things where it's like, yep. if you sit down and watch it, you understand. Like for me with Clone Wars, I was like, I don't get how this is going to work into the episode 2 and 3. Like Anakin has a Padawan, but it's never in the movies. They never even mention her in the movies, but then like they explain why she's not there and it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's like cool little stories in Clone Wars.
Yeah. And that was the cool thing about Clone Wars when I watched it originally on like Cartoon Network was that, it really was quite a unique little show because it really did flesh out a lot of the Clone Wars era because there is so much time between episode 2 and episode 3.
It made Jar Jar actually a good character in Clone Wars. Really? Yeah, in Clone Wars, he has some good moments. Like, he actually has some good, like, development.
That's unfortunate. I was hoping he'd be dead.
How rude.
How rude.
I think they even got Imad Best to voice him in the show.
Really?
Yeah. I don't
know.
That's
kind of cool, actually.
I don't think he voices him in the first season, but I think seasons like 2 on, it's him.
I know I'm like biased because I didn't like episode 1 or Phantom Menace, as it were. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't like Jar Jar. I just really don't. But I'll have to give Clone Wars a rewatch.
Well, he's not in it a lot. Like,
oh, good.
He's not in it a lot, but like the episodes he gets, he actually kind of gets good material.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like characters you might not have liked in the movies. Like they get a little bit more fleshed out in the show.
Sure. Because do you remember the Clone Wars movie that came out? Like not like the animated one.
The 2D one.
No, the animated one.
Yeah, the 2D.
Oh,
animated.
Yeah.
Or are you
talking
about the Clone Wars movie that's part of the show?
Well, the 2D animated one that was like that like looked like the show.
Yeah, well, they made another one that's actually part of the show, like the same animation style, and it's technically part of like in like when you watch the show, you have to watch the movie because it makes sense in the timeline.
Yeah,
and the movie had like Samuel L. Jackson and Ian McDiarmid.
Yes, it's that one. It's basically where Anakin meets Ahsoka.
Yeah, that's part of the show.
Yeah, so I still have a little like wall clingy up in my room that's from that movie.
That's because that's considered like it's a movie, but it's considered just like a really long episode.
Really?
I'm watching it in chronological order because they didn't release it that way. Like they released it like season 1, season 2, season 3.
Sure.
But the other thing that kind of like hesitated me about Clone Wars is if you watch it, you can watch it that way and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But Arsenio was telling me to watch it in chronological order because there's characters that die. And if you watch it just straight through seasons 1 through 3, they'll die in an episode and then they'll be back later. Oh. Because it happened before, so it's like watching it chronologically makes it flow better, and that's what I feel like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, the first episode of the whole series is in season 3.
Oh my god!
And then like there's a lot of jumping in the first 3 seasons, and then like seasons 4 on is pretty much just straight through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like the movie comes in technically as episode 5 of the whole show.
Oh, gotcha.
And it fleshes out like the clones, like it actually gives them character, and like they in the show explain like they always have the dream of Order 66, and they just refer to it as like the nightmare that never ends because they always have it, but they but they all have it, so they can't explain why.
Interesting.
It's so good. Like it gets better each season, gets more mature each season. And season 7's animation has been so good. Like the last 4 episodes legit look like a movie.
I'll have to give that a watch then, honestly.
It's a lot of time, but it's worth it. And then I'm going to start Rebels because Arsenio told me to watch Rebels right after I finish Clone Wars.
Yeah, I know Aiden, my brother, watched and finished Rebels, and he loved it.
I got to do that. But yeah, like Star Trek, I don't know if I can dedicate that much time to it.
I mean, Star Trek's been around since the 60s, dude. So I do not expect you to dedicate that much time to
Star Trek. Binge it in a weekend.
Oh my God. I mean, once COVID is over, if you want to, you and me, I can sit you down and give you kind of like the time frame of where to, what to watch and when to watch it.
I want to watch the Star Treks with William Shatner when he's fighting the dude in the lizard suit.
So that's original series.
I know that's original series, but it's goofy. I've seen that.
Well, yeah, of course it's goofy.
It's the 60s.
It's the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta, because there's a lot of things I gotta watch. There's a lot of movies I gotta watch.
Yeah, I've been real, I don't want to say I've been real behind, but like I just haven't had the motivation to really watch anything recently other than just like Star Trek.
And yeah, that's the thing where it's like it's again, like I don't have the it's like the motivation, but it's also kind of like the attention span. Mm-hmm. Where like if I'm playing a video game, I'm like interacting with it. So it's like I'm focused. Or even a TV show, I can be distracted and still know what's going on.
Yeah.
Versus a movie where it's like when I watch movies, I'm like studying it too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out like what the director was doing or like why they made those choices.
Sure.
Like even today I was going back and looking at old college films. Like,
oh no.
Not mine. I was looking, I just remembered another director's stuff and I forgot they were on YouTube. So now they're in my mind forever.
Oh no.
They're not good. That's why they're in my mind.
Oh, sure, sure.
But that'll be next week's episode when Nick makes his return to the show. Yeah. Next week's gonna be a good episode. I feel like it'll be a lot of fun. This one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been nice talking to you, honestly.
It has. But I think we can wrap it up probably right now. This is going for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, an hour and a half, almost exactly. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, we can wrap it up here. You want to let people know like where to find you if you want to like promote social medias? Because you're like probably one of my first guests that's not film, like quote unquote, like film oriented.
Yeah. You know, honestly, like the only thing I have to promote really is just, I don't have much to promote at all, actually. I'm kind of just an average Joe Schmo.
Just average Joe coming on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just the only thing I have to promote is wear your mask if you go outside, be smart, be safe, be healthy.
There you go. You heard it here. Yeah, you heard it here. We'll be staying healthy and safe. Everyone should too. Just wear a mask.
It's not that hard.
It really isn't. If I can do it for 8 hours.
Yeah, if I can do it for 8 hours too, you guys can do it for 5 minutes.
Exactly. But thanks for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with Nick Manasiotis. He's going to be returning to the show. I think, I don't know if it's going to be the whole show, but I think we're going to be doing a little bit of a fun episode. We're going to talk about the films that me and him directed in college. Kind of like, not like a commentary. We're not going to watch it during the show. I feel like we'll watch it before and then we'll like discuss each other's films and like our directing choices, what we were doing, like what challenges we had, maybe like set stories. And then we can also, I think we're going to compare it to like other people's films. As far as like the films that I feel like if their films are on YouTube, it is fair game to talk about. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah.
Like they released it, so they're cool with people watching it.
Yep. That makes it totally fair game.
Because there's, I know people that have films, but it's not online. So like those probably you can't talk about, or you can't talk about because if they didn't release it, they don't have consent.
Yep.
But I feel like we'll do that, and I'm looking forward to that one because I don't think I've seen all of Nick's stuff. I think I've only seen maybe one of his films because we were in a directing class. But that'll be in 2 weeks. And then on Christmas, the season finale of this show for season 2, I'm bringing back Arsenio. And we are going to be discussing all things Star Wars. So I'm getting ready for everybody to hate me and him because Star Wars fans are the worst. Am I right?
You are right.
They just can't be happy.
They can't.
They just can't just love Star Wars. Everybody's got to critique it.
I know.
But follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Lighting Up the Marquee. Again, more active on Instagram. I keep trying to do the question poll and no one responds. I'm getting very discouraged with that.
You know, yeah, go give Tim your questions, guys. He's a cool guy. He can discuss a lot of things.
Questions, suggestions, recommendations, anything. Like, it's a big part of the show. Like, if I don't have it, that's a whole chunk of my show. It's less things for you to listen to.
Exactly.
But then you can also listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, anything else. I don't know. Those are the big ones, I think. I'm not looking at everything that my show's on. I think I'm on Amazon. I have no idea. I just know I'm not on Pandora because there was something I didn't like about what, like, putting my show on Pandora. So it's not on there. So don't go there.
Go to iHeartRadio.
Is it on there?
I don't know, but you should try.
I feel like it is. I don't know if you can look it up.
I'll look it up later.
Okay. It might be on there. I feel like it is. I feel like I remember putting it on there.
Sounds good.
But I know the big ones are Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. I know Apple Podcasts and Spotify are the biggest ones.
Yep.
So go check us out there. And then until next time, I'm your host, Tim Martin. This has been Lighting Up the Marquee.